Well, good morning. It's good to see a good crowd. I know we're missing Jason and Wendy this morning, and I assure you nobody misses them more than me or maybe Tom. But I appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring a lesson to us, and I hope the things that I say will make sense. They did while I was writing it, but we'll see how it comes out to y'all. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 6. And I titled my sermon this morning, Three Things That Will Destroy Us. But I thought, well, that's probably a little bit negative. So I'm going to keep it at that, but we can change it to maybe three things that we've got to get right. So maybe that softens it a little bit. But Hosea 4, verse 6, it reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." So this morning we're going to examine three things, and the first thing that can destroy us, or that we have to get right, is we have to have the knowledge of what God wants us to do. And I'm going to be using some Old Testament examples of this. And so I'd like to look at the book of Judges. Of course, in Judges 17, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And so really that pretty much describes where we are today in our country. We have no real standard of what we look to for right and wrong. Everybody says, "I have my truth, you have your truth. What is truth?" Well, truth comes from the Word of God, and we know that. And so I want to look at Jephthah. Jephthah was a mighty warrior. And in Judges 11, we learn that Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. And then when Jephthah grew up, as he got older, his brothers realized, "Hey, this guy's going to get part of the inheritance. Let's drive him out." So they kept him while he was young. He grew up with them. But they drove him out as soon as he was old enough to receive an inheritance. And so he was driven away, and then things turned south for Israel. The Ammonites made war with Israel, and so Jephthah was a mighty warrior, and they knew that. So they employed, or they beseeched Jephthah to come and to help them. And in verse 9 of chapter 11, he says that he will be their head, and if God gives them victory, that he would be the head. And so they agreed to that. So if you want to turn to Judges 11, verse 31. I'll back up to verse 30. And this was Jephthah after he had agreed to lead the people. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now I think Jephthah made a rash vow here, because we all know what happened. The first thing that came out to meet Jephthah when he returned home was his only daughter. He didn't have any sons. He just had this daughter. Now, I've heard in the church that, no, Jephthah did not sacrifice his daughter. That could not have happened. I don't hold to that. I know that in Deuteronomy 18:10, God abhors human sacrifice, and it's forbidden. But Jephthah didn't know the word of God. Jephthah, in my opinion, had an out. Had he known God's word, he would not have made the rash vow in the first place. But turn to Leviticus chapter 5. And I'm going to start in verse 4. And this is the law in Leviticus. Or if anyone utters with his lips a rash oath to do evil or to do good, any sort of rash oath that people swear, and it is hidden from him, when he comes to know it, and he realizes his guilt in any of these, when he realizes his guilt in any of these, and confesses the sin he has committed, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation for the sin that he has committed a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. I think had Jephthah known the law of the Lord, he could have realized that he made a rash vow, but he didn't know it. So I believe that he sacrificed his daughter upon that altar, which was not pleasing to God, because he had lack of knowledge. And so somebody died because of that lack of knowledge. And really, it's that individual, but the whole world is going to be lost because of lack of knowledge. But God has given us his word, and we can know what God wants from us. So God's law was far from them, but we, as God's children, we must be in God's word. 1 Timothy 2:4. I'll back up to verse 3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants us to, he wants us to be saved, but we're going to have to know what the truth is. So there is the knowledge of the truth. And also down in 2 Timothy 3:16, and this is a verse that we use all the time. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. There's nothing lacking for us. There's nothing unknown that God wants from us that we don't know to do. But we have to be a people that are in God's word. We can't take my word for it. We can't take Jason's word for it. We can't take any man's word for it. We all have the ability to read and have a Bible. So pick up that Bible. Read that Bible. Make sure that what you are hearing is truth. And make sure that you have the knowledge that you can be pleasing and obedient to God. So the first thing that we have to get right is we have to get the knowledge right. So the second thing, we can have knowledge, but we also have to have obedience. And this is going to be a little bit of a lengthy reading, but the second example here from the Old Testament is going to be taken from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 19 through 45. And this is talking about Israel's refusal to enter into the promised land. Then we set out from Horeb and went through that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites. As the Lord our God commanded us, we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities in which we shall come. So you can already see they're starting to hedge. God's told them, I'm going to give it to you, take it. So they say, hey, well, let's look it out. Let's see what this is about first, and then we'll make our decision. So we can see that they're starting to waver. But in verse 23, the thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hand some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place, to pitch your tents in fire by night and the cloud by day to show you what way you should go. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore, none of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give you to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it. And to him and his children will I give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account and said, you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness, the direction of the Red Sea. Then you answered me, we have sinned against the Lord. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as the Lord God commanded us. So now they are like, okay, we are going to go. And we see what's going to happen. And every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not listen, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and beat you down in Seir as far as Hormah, and you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice or give ear to you. I know that was a little bit of a lengthy reading, but we can see they had the Lord on their side. They knew God was their God and their Lord, but they directly refused to obey. And so then they had the change of heart and said, well, we're going to go without God. And they were utterly destroyed. The same thing applies to us. Turn into Romans chapter 2. Verse 7 and 8. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So obedience to the knowledge that we have from God's word is essential. We have to obey. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. His commands are not burdensome. God is a loving God. He wants our salvation. He wants us to be with him. And in 1 John chapter 3, whoever keeps God's commands abides in God. So we need to be people of the word. We have to look in the mirror and examine ourselves, but we can't walk away and forget immediately what we've seen. We have to make the changes. We have to be an obedient people to God. And we have to get that right. If we do not obey, we will be destroyed. And that brings us to the third point, and this is the Jason Tytloff point of the lesson. We have to have endurance. Okay? And Jason knows he can't go out for the 100-mile run without much training. And once he starts that run, he's got to endure. He's got to dig deep and finish, or else what? He fails, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So who's writing that? That's Paul. Paul's saying if Paul doesn't endure and if Paul does not discipline himself, I like the American Standard version of that. It says if I don't buffet my body, I pronounce it buffet my body. So it seems like an easy and fun thing to do. But seriously, it takes a discipline. It takes daily time in prayer and in God's word to keep their endurance up. Because if we don't endure, it doesn't matter what we've done. If we don't finish the race, what do we not receive? We don't receive the prize, do we? So it doesn't matter what we've done in the past, how good we've done, what kind of service we've done for the kingdom. We have to have endurance. So I want to look at another Old Testament example of that. And that's going to be taken from Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, We do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in your ears, and your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So just because there was a little bit of a delay with Moses, the people, they left. They said, no, we're going to make our own God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And I think what's so remarkable about this story is we see in 1 Corinthians 10, and it shows how everything points to us. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In verse 6 is the highlight. It's the key here. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we may not desire evil as they did. They went through all that. All that happened so we can read Scripture and see what they did so we can't do the same thing. Because really, our Christian walk, does it not parallel the children of Israel in the wilderness? We left sin, right? That was bondage. We left Egypt. And now we are in, where are we at? We're on our way to the promised land. Are we not? Are we there yet? No, we're not there. But we can look at the Israelites and realize they fell because of their lack of obedience. So God has given us that warning. So we need to take heed to that. And are things going to, in our life, are they going to always happen on our timeline? Or as we expect them to happen? There's going to be some curveballs. There's going to be some things we're not going to know why things are happening. And we're going to question God. But we have to realize that we have to have faith. Abraham, he had faith. And he had the promise of a child. Did that happen on his timeline? Not at all. So that's the same for us. So we are in the same place that they are, except we have the chance to be obedient. And I would like to, the last verse I would like to read would be from Hebrews 10, verse 36. And it says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And we can't fathom what is waiting for us. We our imagination cannot imagine how good heaven is going to be. But I implore you to not give up, to keep fighting, keep in the race, endure. We have the knowledge, we have God's word, we have to obey God's word, and we have to endure. But if you have not obey God's word, if you don't know God's word, we can study with you. We can show you straight out of Scripture what God demands from us. And then you can obey God's word. You can come forward. You can put Christ on in baptism and be one of his children. And if you have found yourself struggling and you found your endurance to be weak and you're slipping, you can come ask for prayers and we can pray for you. As a body, we can help each other in this race. That's why it's so important for us to meet every time we can meet together to build each other up, to encourage us to finish the race. So if you have any needs, please come as we stand and sing.